So basically, our investment strategy is pretty simple. So one is do no harm. That's the number one important thing that we're going to look for into an investment. So we're never going to invest in anything that has earth exploitation, animal exploitation. We're not going to invest in pharmaceuticals. We're not going to invest in gambling and all that stuff. But we will invest in companies that do make a difference in the world. The last 2 months have really been the biggest change of my life, to be honest. One of the biggest shifts that I've had in my life is going plant-based and just learning about where our food comes from, where our clothes come from, how animals are treated in factory farms and wet markets and all that stuff. Two, coming to realization in the last 2 months, I've made it a rule that I'm not going to have less sleep because of work. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to sleep and then I'm just going to wake up and go about my day and actually focus on work. I've been meditating a lot. I've been reading a lot. I've been focusing on myself a lot. I've been really working on bettering myself. And I suffer from migraines. I've literally not had a migraine in 2 months. Or a headache, for that matter, in 2 months. That's unheard of for me. I'd get them every week. So there is a silver lining to Mother Earth telling us to go to our rooms and think about what we've done for the last decades of absolutely killing the environment. So the silver lining is definitely that Earth is breathing. I'm breathing. I'm really, really focusing on myself a lot deeper. And I'm just a lot more present and more serene presence of mine.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. Welcome back, listeners, to another epic episode on Conversations with Changemakers. And one thing I can be so grateful for today, if you saw my post, that was I am grateful. It's because of technology. I'm sitting down with someone that loves technology as much as I do, and it's going to be very exciting. But let me introduce our guest for this week. Prince of Saudi Arabia, out of the House of Saud. He's the grandson of King Saud of Saudi Arabia. But most importantly, this man is a philanthropist, the founder of KBW Ventures, who you might know that's invested in Beyond Meat, Square, Just, Memphis Meats, Matthew Kenny Cuisine. He was named the Technology Investor of the Year. He's an environmentalist. He's a proud vegan. He's saving animals. This man is everything. Welcome to Prince Khalid. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. First, please call me Khalid. Let's start by that. King Salman is second uncle. So
okay, yeah. Okay. This is it's very exciting. So I was wrapping you up because your story and your message now from where you were when you were a child are almost polar opposites. Your I know when you were younger, you were the media had you pinned on opulence. As a youngster, and I think I've been going through a week of identifying people's childhood obstacles or hindrances and how they came out of their obstacles in order to live their life of purpose, which I haven't met someone as I've met you that is living such a purpose-driven life, which is so amazing to see because you're making a difference to the world through veganism, through your investment in environmental things. So the first question is going to be, how was your upbringing? How did your upbringing form who you were today? Mm-hmm. And how were you able to come out of a very influential family into changing, I don't know, let's call you the black sheep because your mindset might have changed, your business direction changed quite a bit.
I get what you're saying. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Obviously, I've met you. I think a year ago, maybe not today, but soon.
It was in Bali. It was beautiful.
Yeah, so it was amazing. So I'm really excited to expand this relationship to even to further push our cause to bettering the world. But in essence, so my upbringing, I'm going to forget a lot of the details, obviously, but my upbringing was was essentially very blessed. You know, I was really blessed to having a father who really, really worked hard from practically not nothing but close to that, and becoming the person he is today, and then just instilling in me the values that he has, which is hard work, dedication, attention to detail. Trust but verify, stuff like that. So a lot of the business acumen that I've built that definitely came from him. I never forget this point, because this is probably the most important point that really made me who I am today, which is mentioning my mom. So my mom really, I remember my mom being in the house that we grew up in, and knowing everybody's first name by heart, walking around all around the house. And I was blessed with living in a big house, so my mom would walk everywhere around the house, know from the gardener's name to a chef's name to everyone's name in a first name basis. And really that taught me a lot about how to connect with people. Yeah. She's very humble, very down to earth. And really, a lot of that, a lot of the life skills that I've not taught myself, but gained, was really from her. You know, she was really into. So back then, you know, she was really into spirituality, into crystal healing, into yoga, into a lot of that stuff that really resonates to me right now. And it's funny, because there's a big gap in my life where I never even not only believed in that existed, but never even thought of it. And then slowly, about 7-10 years ago, it just keeps coming back to me, and then I just remember my upbringing with my mom and how fulfilling it was from a life perspective, and really that's how I was brought up. I've got that business sense, but also the human sense.
So what's the difference between your mom's mindset and your dad's mindset? Because both your parents are successful in their own rights and have taught you, like you said, business acumen and let's call it life acumen. Well, what was the inherent difference between them?
Great question. So one was really business oriented, really, really mindset driven for work, driven for results. I remember doing my homework, and I would hate it, for example, doing it with my dad. And, you know, he knows this, you know, because he's very meticulous. You make one mistake, go make sure you study well, and then come back again. It has to be 100%, you know. And my mom was like, okay, it can be 90%, it can be 85%, but just do your best. Yeah. And there was a lot of trust from my mom in terms of letting me make my mistakes and then learning from them. That's really the difference. There was a lot of business oriented, work oriented, 100% dedication to work, and then over here, which was 100% dedicated to life, to bettering yourself, to living a more fulfilled life in a more spiritual way.
Yeah, it's so beautiful that you had a mom like that, because I think a lot of people are not fortunate enough to even experience another person that holds spirituality so deeply. Now, growing up in a household like you did, not the size of the household, but obviously you had access to a lot of preferential things. Your dad was a very successful businessman, one of the most powerful businessmen in the world. And a lot of people, when they are a sibling or a child or a part of a family like that, it's very hard not to go astray. Not to allow your mind to fixate on the materialistic desires or gluttonies of the world. How did you bring in a deep sense of fulfillment into your life, and be really essentially become a businessman with solid foundations? Where are you at now?
You know, it's kind of strange, you know, because I actually think of my life and I look at my life through the rear view mirror, and I see that I was never into into anything that was quote unquote bad. You know, I never drank in my life. I never smoked in my life. Mm. I never hung out with the groups of people or a gang and all that garbage that that really merited issues.
Yeah.
You know, I've always thought that I had a moral compass, internal moral compass that just guided me towards the right way. And I think it was a lot of my upbringing, obviously, but a lot of it was, honestly, I'll be honest with you, pure luck, you know, because I was in a good school, but the school had its issues. You know, there were a lot of these smoking issues and other stuff that was happening in the city. I never got into that. I was always into technology. I was always into building my computer. I was always into learning programming, DOS, C++, and stuff like that. And I used to remember wanting to go home just to get on my computer and just start writing code and just start writing different stuff. So that was the kind of stuff that really captured me more. And obviously, I grew up with wanting materialistic things. So I've been then fascinated with cars and all that stuff. And I've had cars. I've driven all sorts of cars and all that stuff. But then, honestly, I think about, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, that stuff just didn't matter to me anymore. I mean, I got rid of everything. I just focused on how to better myself, how to learn how to do something right, and be accountable for the wrong things that I was doing, but in the ways that I was doing them, in an interpretation that I thought was right. I didn't care what other people thought.
Yeah.
So what was
that pivot moment though, where you realized that
question.
Enough was enough?
You know what? You know the saying that you can never satisfy everyone, but you can also never 100% satisfy your parents also. So there is always that part that, nah, you're not really that good enough. You're still a kid. 30 years old, you're still a kid. 35 years old, you're still a kid. 40 years old, you're still learning. When am I going to stop learning? Yeah. You're never going to stop learning, but you're not a kid anymore. So I figured about 15 years ago or so, I figured that, you know what, I'm going to embrace spirituality in the way that I believe is right, which is me being religious as well as spiritual. So to me, those words are synonymous. I don't think they're different.
Yeah.
In my own interpretation, and you can't be too spiritual. You know what I mean? You can be too religious, but you can't be too spiritual.
Yeah.
And I think I found that niche that I wanted to go through. And then I figured I'm going to apply that to my business world and apply that to my professional world. World. So I started working and doing things that I love as opposed to doing things that people expect me to do. Mm. So I got into banking when I first graduated. It was horrible. It was just a horrible experience, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a good learning experience. Mm. It's a horrible experience looking back. It's a horrible experience while you're doing it because, you know, it's banking.
Yeah.
But then now I look at it, I've learned a lot from it. Then I worked with my dad for about good 6, 7, 8 years, I want to say. And I learned a lot from it. That was a great learning experience. Mm. Again, there was not, there wasn't any issues with working for my dad as opposed to just doing, saying, you know what, I just want to work for myself. I want to do something for myself. I want to prove that I can do something and I can carve my way into society or into the business world that I believe is more relevant. And that's where venture came into play.
Oh, that's amazing. What I hear you say so clearly and shouting out loud is really it was the act of prioritizing yourself over people pleasing and almost detaching from our parents. I read this fascinating article by this, if you want to call him a spiritual guru or whatever, about divorcing your parents so that you can prioritize your truth. And it's inherently our truth that we need to shine in order to live our purpose, live our calling, or whatever you want to call it. And when you get into that flow, you become the best person possible. And you are, like you said, you worked in banking, which I've done the same. So that's why I laughed, because like it was very boring for me.
Yeah.
It was like I studied a degree to suit my parents, you know, like everything I did was to suit them.
Yeah.
But the great lesson that I'm sure you found out was you realized what you did not want to do. So it's like, okay, I don't want to do that. Okay, I work with my dad. Okay, like I learned, but I still don't want to do that. And now you find yourself as an investor, but you've taken investing to a deeper level. You are bringing your truth, your purpose into investing. And I want you to perhaps explain to listeners what your inherent calling is when you invest and what you look for when you invest in companies and what the – you've got the same message behind all your investment strategies.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, our investment strategy is pretty simple. So one is do no harm. That's the number one important thing that we're going to look for into an investment. So we're never going to invest in anything that has earth exploitation, animal exploitation. We're not going to invest in pharmaceuticals. We're not going to invest in gambling and all that stuff. But we will invest in companies that do make a difference in the world, whether it's not a philanthropic, but in an impact investment point of view, or just a economic driven point of view, or even both. And I have not invested yet in a company that we didn't believe has a good future, and we don't believe that it will have a good impact economically as well as socially. And that's really our philosophy. You know,
can you describe that even deeper? Because a lot of people, so just to give listeners an example, people live their own truth. So someone that is destroying forests will say, but I'm making a brighter future. Like, will you explain your brighter
future?
That's
such a good point. You know, everybody's doing their best on their level of consciousness. And that's the mentality that I've actually taken in and lived through this quarantine life, through this pandemic that we're going through now. I've actually worked really, really hard. This is a blessing for me, at least, because I've focused on me in a way that I've never focused on me before. And I've come to the realization that this hatred or this bad mouthing or negative feelings that you'd have for people who are just doing their best on their level of consciousness is affecting you negatively. So who's winning there? They're definitely not losing, because they don't know who the hell you are or that you're bad mouthing them. Yeah. But it is affecting me personally. So in my point of view, I think just doing the right thing in terms of what's good for the environment, in effect, will be good. It will make a good return for me, because at the end of the day, we're all interconnected. If it's good for the environment, it's going to make money at the long haul, and it's going to be beneficial for the human race and for species in general. So that's really my point of view. How well does this company do, and how bad does it affect the environment? Does it not affect the environment? Then this is a good thing. That's a check mark. Does it have good numbers? Is it a viable company? Is it too early? Is it not too early? That's too technical right now to get into. But these questions really narrow down the thesis of what we invest in. And honestly, that's what we do. Could that be a good thing? Could that be the bad thing? That's my good thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what anyone else
thinks. Oh, he has a question. Just thought of it now. How do you have a team behind you? Because you're a very passionate guy. I mean, we've met once, but I see how you are with people, and you love people, and you love bettering this world and this planet. Do you have a team that advises you when you are looking at a deal too passionately and maybe not looking too in depth at the numbers as much?
Yeah.
So you like skew more towards the message.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So our team, we've got about five people on our team. Mm-hmm. And one of them, or two of them specifically, really ground me to this, to the extent that, listen, look at the numbers again, and you tell me if this is a good investment or not. And I do that. And it makes a huge difference for me. I do look at some investments and think, God, this is such a good idea, but I know it's just not a good investment. And I just need that that reassurance from my team to tell me, no, you're right. This is not a good investment. Just, you know, let's wait for another, I don't know, year or so. Let's see where it goes from there. But I do have a really good team, really solid team around me, really blessed with having them be level-minded and open-minded to the fact that we will invest in impact-driven, economically driven company as opposed to just impact-driven companies.
So we live in a world that is very much a world of doing, and accumulating more and more and more. I mean, mm-hmm. you spend a lot of time in California as well, and obviously in Saudi, it's very apparent, I suppose, in all parts of the world. Have you had any moonshots? A lot of successful businesses and businessmen out there do take a chance, even when their advisors are telling them, look at the numbers, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But we wouldn't have been in the world we're in today if entrepreneurs listened to their advisors 100% of the time. Do you have any examples of where you just went against the grain and then it either played out for you or didn't, but you learned some incredible lessons?
I mean, yeah, the clear answer to that one is about 2.5 years ago. I've been shopping beyond meat here to so many businessmen, and I've got so many eye rolls that you don't understand. And not so much advisors told me not to invest in this company, because even if they did, I would have, and I would have fired them if they told me not to, because they're clearly not seeing the point that we're trying to make here is that this is a viable company and was a viable company then, that's seriously making an impact, that's doubling its sales every few quarters. So it really made a lot of sense for us then. But regardless of that, I tried to. Nobody bid from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Literally no one. Safely to say, through the Middle East, it was just myself who invested in Beyond Meat. And that was one of the things that really took off. And I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I was so bummed with myself when I wasn't able to get into the share options right before it listed. and like you listen to all these investors on CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, wherever you are in the world. And it's just like, don't buy it if it hits 60. And then you just see it hit 70, 80, 90. And it's just like, so well done. That was a beautiful, beautiful investment. But it was beyond just seeing the numbers there for you. And this kind of caveats us into your vegan lifestyle and how important it is to you, behind your message, your business, your family, everything. So I suppose the question is, how long have you been vegan and why did you become vegan?
About 8-9 years ago, I want to say, the real reason is why is because health reasons in the beginning. Health reasons, I didn't have the best health in the world, and doctors kept pushing these medicines on me just to lower my cholesterol and all that good stuff. At the end of the day, that I had to make a different lifestyle, and veganism just made sense. And just then and there, I saw the cholesterol go down significantly to almost normal levels. And then I started learning about factory farming. Mm-hmm. And obviously I wasn't vegan then. I was maybe, let's call it plant-based. Yeah. Pescatarian, let's go there. Mm-hmm. And then for about a year after that, more than a year, about 2 or 3 years after that, I've learned a little more about where our clothes come from, where my belt comes from, where the shoes come from. And I was like, you know what? This is wrong. You know, this can't happen. This is Stella, by the way, just so you know.
Hey, Stella.
Yeah.
For those of you that you can't see, it's Carla's dog in the background. Yeah. So cute.
So that really just made sense to me. And then I started watching documentaries, learning about factory farming, learning about how animals are treated. And then at the end of the day, for me, it just felt like I can't continue living like this. I'm a hypocrite. Mm. You know, and again, in my previous life, and I wasn't, I was a horrible person, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I was, forget about, I did go hunting and I did all that. And I've already said that, and I published that, I think about 6-7 years ago,
yeah, outright that was telling in my home country, yeah, in South Africa.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I did do all that crazy, disgusting stuff that I did. And then at the end of the day, I just stepped back for a second and I felt so horrible about what I did. I was literally depressed for so long. And then I kind of stepped back for a second and thought, you know what? I'm a hypocrite. Why am I being upset because of the wild animals that I hurt and killed when I'm killing literally hundreds of thousands of innocent chickens, cattle, from cows to ducks to all sorts of animals, and then I don't even even think about it. Mm. I won't even think twice about it. I'm like, you know what? This is wrong. Why am I saying that's okay for them, but it's not okay for the others? And that's really when things really just kicked into gear, and I started becoming an angry vegan in the beginning. And I hated myself for everything that I've done, but then I've come to realize that that the past is the past, and what I'm doing right now for the future is more important. And hopefully, I will make amends. Oh God, sorry. Sorry, this is tough for me to talk about.
Yeah.
But so I'm fasting, so I can't drink water. So that sucks. Okay. So it really hurt that everything that I've did in the past, and hopefully what I'm doing right now makes amends to everything that I've done, and hopefully I can get forgiveness for the shit that I've done. But anyway, I'm always striving to find that.
If I was Khalid in front of you, telling you the exact same story, would you look at me with compassion? Like, I've walked this whole road, like. You know, like, I'm Khalid now, that was my life. I'm here now and I'm doing everything I can in my power to be a better person. You'd probably look at me with a lot of compassion.
We're always the toughest critics to ourselves, yeah, as opposed to other people looking at us from outside. And I don't want to feel good yet.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds weird, but I don't want to feel good yet for everything that I'm doing. I still have a long way to go to make amends to everything, yeah, that I've done in the past. And I know I'll get there. Internally, I'm not killing myself at the end of the day, because I've just literally finished this book right here, Power of Now.
Brilliant.
And I'm telling you, it this thing changed my life. And this is where I'm at now. I'm draining out all the emotions that I need to go through, just so I can be present and I can be at the moment. I can be conscious to where I am now, as opposed to where I was. And then the future is always going to be hopefully brighter and brighter by the day.
Gandhi, I just finished reading. So I read two books in the last week. One was a book based on the Bhagavad Gita, basing it on like showing, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, right?
No.
So the Bhagavad Gita is the ancient scripture from Hinduism that yoga is kind of based on, the philosophy, mm-hmm, of yoga, not the movement yoga. It's kind of the tenets that Gandhi lived by, that Beethoven lived by, a lot of people, Shakespeare, we can go Mandela, whoever. And Gandhi says this one thing. He's like, because he was a fighter himself. He was that angry vegan, like you talk about, for so long. And he said his life changed when he viewed himself through compassionate eyes, and he says, by the understanding the meaning of detaching from the destination and the results in order to attach myself to the action. So it's like detaching, yeah, from the fruits of action. And that, yeah, for me, about 3 days ago, it was like the biggest like mic drop moment in my week, or like actually in my, yeah, life. And I was just like,
wow, yeah,
whoa. That's like, because no matter where we are as humans, we're always looking like, what are the numbers? Like, how many people are viewing this video? Like, even if it's for like a purpose-driven video, it's like,
sure, yeah.
Like, and it's a beautiful. I just want to thank you for sharing that story, because I think a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people look back on themselves and see themselves as a shadow or a weight or an anchor.
Yeah.
And they are trying to do everything they can to change that script.
Yeah.
What are some of maybe your daily practices or some of your daily mantras or manifestations that you do that you have been doing for the last 15 years that has got you to where you are now?
So oddly enough, I haven't done anything in the last 14 years and let's say 10 months. The last 2 months have really been the biggest change of my life, to be honest. So, granted, one of the biggest shifts that I've had in my life is going plant-based and just learning about where our food comes from, where our clothes come from, how animals are treated in factory farms and wet markets and all that stuff. Two, coming to realization in the last 2 months on working 24 hours a day, 24 hours, but you know, sleeping, yeah. Sleeping about seven to 8 hours a day, which has been a rule of mine for the past year or two. I've made it a rule that I'm not going to have less sleep because of work. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to sleep and then I'm just going to wake up and go about my day and actually focus on work. But really the last 2 months have really made the biggest impact on me. So I've been meditating a lot. I've been David G, you know, I absolutely love this man. So he really helped me a lot with a lot of the stuff that, a lot of the meditations that he has. I've actually learned to just to quiet out everything and just meditate alone without having any voice telling you what to do inside. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've been reading a lot. I've been focusing on myself a lot. I've been really working on bettering myself. And I suffer from migraines. I've literally not had a migraine in 2 months, or a headache for that matter, in 2 months. That's unheard of for me. Wow. I'd get them every week. So there is a silver lining to Mother Earth telling us to go to our rooms and think about what we've done for the last, I don't know, decades of absolutely killing the environment. So the silver lining is definitely that Earth is breathing. Yeah. I'm breathing. I'm really, really focusing on myself a lot deeper. And I'm just a lot more present and more serene presence of mine now, right now.
Wow, that's such a beautiful lesson. I'm so happy you shared that. You know, it's the idea.
I haven't talked about that.
Awareness, like the awareness that we are like in sync with nature. Like I always say, like watch a tree. A tree is our elder. Like a tree stands there, doesn't get bothered, and breathes. And that's why we like so calm when we go in nature. And you doing exactly what you're doing, like it gets me so pumped because I always say like the universe has served us COVID-19 for a reason, and it's for us to learn a lesson. And there's always positivity and negativity hand in hand. And you've 100%. Just, I mean, you've just like served the biggest amount of medicine, more medicine than a pharmaceutical company could serve. Like it's just like boom.
It was it's my truth. I'm doing stuff that's good for me. Whether people want to do that or not, that's up to them. But, you know, I'm getting sun, even though Saudi gets about, 95, 98% of the year, there's sunlight. And I've been vitamin D deficient, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And I've been getting sun every day. I've been educating myself on how important it is to build my immunity, build my immune system, as opposed to waiting for the next vaccine or the next medicine, all that garbage. That means nothing for me. Right now is what matters. And this is what I've learned.
Wow. That's sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. No, no, thank you. I mean, it's nothing. I'm not talking in any way, shape or form that's deep. This is just me splitting out words.
sometimes the simple truths are like the most abundant truths.
Yeah.
So, they always say, I mean, you know, as a businessman, like if someone comes and pitches to you, right? Like, have the numbers ready, have your slideshow ready, all that. But if you don't allow me to understand your business model, I cannot invest into it. So like if someone's going to be way too technically advanced, no one's going to get it. And it's
that's
like,
true.
And I always have to tell myself, okay, Gary, try and speak like 10-year-old Gary, just so people don't like not understand, especially when you're passionate about something, like you're passionate about motorbikes and cars. And I mean, I know you still are. So you could.
No, I've totally. It's still strange. I literally don't look twice at any car or anything anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
Not anymore. I don't know what the heck happened, but I've literally just focused on my passion is. I love keyboards. I'm getting into mechanical keyboards.
That's amazing.
I mean, listen. So I'm into these smaller things that really just make me happy, and then obviously my work really makes me happy.
Yeah, I never thought I was going to get into this with you, but maybe that's a good cue. With regards to keyboards, technology that we surround ourselves a lot with, where are you at right now with your health, with regards to using EMF or radiating emitting devices, mm-hmm. sorry. Because obviously you can get devices that have shields and all that. I don't know where you're at. How do you view it as someone that's a tech fundy?
So I've looked into that, and the most that I can do in a more realistic way is for example, when I sleep, my phones are off and they're away from me. Yeah. That's the most that I can do. Other than that, technology is going to be is essential, and it's an essential part of my life. I'm always going to have a phone around with me, as opposed to, but not when I'm sleeping, obviously. EMFs, I'm trying to think of ways, and I've looked at these different ways that you can not eliminate but lessen the EMFs that you can get from this type of. From the type of radiation that you get from phones and all that stuff. Again, I haven't found anything material. You know, I do have my EMF lessening, crystals and everything. But I actually tested it with an EMF gauge. Yeah. It doesn't work.
Oh, doesn't? So, no. Okay, cool. So no. I actually wanted to know that.
No, I've actually tried it, and my family tried it, and no, it doesn't work. You know, so it's the best thing to do is just turn it off, get it away from you, and just try to have technology free 8 hours of your life as opposed to 24 hours of technology.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, I quickly want to rewind back to your life as a vegan. So you started out for health reasons. How fast did your health reverse when you started a vegan diet?
Less than six months. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Look, your cholesterol was 332, 331. It went down to about 180, I want to say." Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, "Great, continue on the medication." And I'm like, "I'm not on medication. This is just a plant-based lifestyle." Yeah. It's like, no. It's medication. Stop. I'm like, "Well, fine. I'm not going to argue with you because it means nothing to me." but it was that fast for me. Now, granted, I didn't check until 6 months from then, but I could have checked 2 months from now, from then, and maybe would have been a lot faster. But from my experience, it was 6 months, and I was back to normal. Mm.
It's amazing how you see results so quickly. I saw the same thing. I actually, my dad's a butcher, still is, unfortunately, he's a vegan butcher. Which was for me, I mean, it's amazing. Like, he doesn't believe in it at all, but he's retiring this year. So we're getting there.
Nice.
But he also reversed, like, he was in six schedule five meds, and within 6 months he was off it. So it's like,
oh, wow.
So like, when I see results like that, and then I deal with someone that's really against veganism, it's very hard not to become that angry vegan.
Yeah.
It's very hard to become someone that doesn't seem like an angry vegan, because a lot of times to an angry vegan, they're just like, "Well, I'm just so passionate," you know, and like it comes up.
So
how do you manage that process of being someone that really believes in veganism, not just for your health, but also for the planet and for the future of this world and health for everyone? But how do you manage that process of dealing with someone that really doesn't believe in it, or throws the keto word at you, or throws the conspiracy word at you? Like, how do you tap into that?
So 2 months ago, I would tell you that It doesn't bother me anymore because the mounting evidence is just clear that eating red meat is just simply not good for you, no matter who says what. I mean, you have the World Health Organization classifying red meat as a group 1 carcinogen to humans, and that's in line with asbestos and tobacco. Now, granted, they might not be on the same level because they do have a disclaimer that it's not on the same level. Regardless, it's a carcinogen. But you have them, and then you have Harvard Medical, and then you have so many doctors who have ditched dairy and ditched meat and really embraced a plant-based lifestyle with evidence-based research showing that the most important way to reverse many diseases is through a plant-based lifestyle. That in of itself for me is enough to give my evidence to a set person who thinks it's a conspiracy, who thinks it's not true, blah, blah, blah. And then just step back and let them have their own moment to realize it.
Yeah.
I'm not there to push this agenda on them or anything. Now, granted, it'll be nice to get them faster to veganism because that just means less suffering for animals. But we're not there yet, and we're not going to be there. The world, meat consumption is going to be a multi-trillion dollar industry by 2050. That simply means people are always going to eat meat, regardless of health. And the easiest example that I'm going to give you is that a dear friend of mine, his father, I want to say, died from lung cancer. So he kept seeing his father in the hospital dying of lung cancer. When he leaves the hospital, he sees the same nurses, the same doctors outside of the hospital smoking. That in of itself is evident enough for me to step back for a second and say, no, people don't care about the animals because they don't care about their health. Why would they care about animals if they don't care about their health? It makes no sense. You would care for yourself more before you'd care about animals. So therefore, for me, giving the evidence that a plant-based lifestyle is the most important thing, most important aspect for me to give to someone, and then having them do the research, having them find their own truth, but more importantly, push companies such as Beyond Meat, such as Memphis Meats, such as other Geltor companies that are coming up with cellular agriculture, so that we can source meat in different ways, so that we don't have to kill animals to eat their flesh.
Yeah.
So that for me, that's the solution for the long haul. In the short term, again, it all boils down to evidence. All boils down to all the evidence that you give to them. And again, they're on their level of consciousness that they're going to either evolve and really understand what it means to be vegan, as opposed to just thinking it's just a hippie fad, as opposed to just it being a lifestyle. And that's my point of view.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm in it for all of the above reasons. Sometimes because it's something so passionate within me, it is hard to try and like breathe and then come like deliver some piece of evidence without like getting a rebuttal. But you're right. Yeah. Everyone is at their own level of consciousness, and some people are aware and are willing to look at new ideas, interesting ideas, etc. If I expect people to take in a new type of ideology, I should be in this. I should wear that same hat, and that for me was a big turning point with like being like, okay, I need to also accept new ideas, not accept them as truth, accept them and perhaps look more deeply into them, which I'm sure you do on a day to day basis, investing in companies.
Now, I mean, yeah, for sure, yeah.
You say it's not possible for the whole world to be vegan.
I mean, no.
That,
I mean, look,
but that is a goal of yours.
I mean, look, no. My goal is to turn the world into a not vegan necessarily, but more compassionate. So where we source meat, that's the most important thing for me. as soon as I solve where we source meat, and then that means I've contributed at least to impacting the environment in a positive way. I've contributed to impacting people's health in a more positive way. Now, granted, it'll still be full of cholesterol. It'll still be high in saturated fat and all that stuff. And your artery is going to be clogged and you're still going to need Lipitor, Crestor, and all the other stuff. But at the end of the day, you'll not have the antibiotics. You won't have the hormones. You won't have the contaminants that really gets into meat. So it's a healthier alternative. Whether you think eating a cellular agriculture meat is vegan or not, that's up for debate. I think it is, but people might think it's not. For end of the day, nothing was harmed by making that piece of flesh. Hmm. Would I eat it? No. I've come to the realization that I don't need animal flesh. I don't crave animal flesh. Yeah. So it's not something that I would eat. I'll definitely back the crap out of them because I do believe that that's the future.
Yeah. And you will save a lot of planet Earth and you will save a lot of suffering. And at the end of the day, if people can want to hear it or they don't want to hear it or whatever the case, when it doesn't matter who is suffering in the world, but a collective, like this collective suffering that the planet Earth is experiencing, whether it's us throwing plastic on the floor or animals suffering or humans getting migraines or depressed or anxiety, it's a collective suffering and we all feel it. Like we're all energy at the end of the day. And
I think we're all energy. We're all connected. If something is going to hurt Earth, it's going to hurt us in the end of the day.
Yeah.
Simple.
So I have to thank you for, like, really from the bottom of my heart. It's always something. Whenever someone asks me, like, who do you believe is making the biggest effort to change the world every day? Like, you're the first person that pops into my mind. And I'm not just saying this.
I'm a drop in the ocean, but thank you very much for saying that.
You say that though, but like you're like hands deep. Like you're in there. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing now with KBW Ventures and just what you're doing with your message on social media and everywhere is profound. And thank you so much for doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
And I thank you. So to round up, I've got a couple questions. Okay. So number one, what do you think the soul is?
What do I think the soul is? Oh, I think that's way too deep for me. So I think the soul is really where, oof, that's a tough one. So what I would say is the soul is where your heart is and where your compassion comes from. And if people were connected more to their souls as opposed to just their minds, I think a lot of more positive impact and more positive things would happen in this world. Because if you're connected to your soul, that means you're connected to someone else. And that means the other person is also connected to someone else. And then that chain reaction happens where whatever you do knows affects this person or affects this being in a certain way. So I think that's what it is.
And what is your definition then of God?
God for me is where you feel most at peace. Whether you call God or whether you call universe, whether you call FP in a book that I'm reading right now, E², or whether you call it whatever the heck you want to call it. I think it's inner peace and tranquility and where you feel most at home.
Mm. Mm, beautiful. Complete the sentence. The world needs?
More compassion. Mm. Easily.
And for the last one, how important is human connection and why?
Human connection is everything, honestly, because for me, human connection is the definition of interpreting why you're doing something or why you're going to do something in the future. If we were more connected, then you would interpret human connection in different ways. People need to grow internally and really understand what human connection is, as opposed to doing things for themselves. So human connection to me is everything.
Mm. Beautiful. I'm going to throw a bonus in there. I know it's one more minute. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of the human experience?
The purpose of the human experience. Oof.
You're so full of wisdom. I have to throw that at you.
I'm not even remotely full of wisdom. But let me see. What's the purpose of the human experience?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
For you.
I mean, for human experience, for me, is to give everything or the knowledge that we've experienced and to relay it to other generations to learn from. The human experience is the continuation of this life that we're living in. I think I'm running in on blanks here on what else to say, but really, that's what I'm thinking.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful, because if I had to sum up your life, you're living your truth. And you're doing everything in your power to share your truth in the most compassionate way. And I don't think there's a better example of living life. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Guys, listeners, be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Conversations with Changemakers. It means so much to myself and my changemaking friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garytirola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Tirola, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.